you want to speak of other things, such as wealth,
honor,
children, land and home. A great Indian scientist busy in the plan making business was suddenly called by eternal time by going to attend a very important meeting with planning commission, and he had to surrender his life, wife, children, house, land, wealth, etc. During the political upsurge in India and its division into Pakistan and Hindustan, so many rich and influential Indians had to surrender life, property and honor due to the influence of time. And there are hundreds and thousands of examples like that all over the world, all over the universe, which are all effects of the influence of time. Therefore, the conclusion is that there is no powerful living being within the universe who can overcome the influence of time. Many poets have written verses lamenting the influence of time. Many devastations have taken place over the universe due to the influence of time, and no one could check them by any means. Even in our daily life, so many things come and go in which we have no hand, but we have to suffer or tolerate them without remedy and measure. That is the result of time. ॐ ज्ञानमिदमृन्दस्या ज्ञानञ्जातिशारकया चक्षुरुन्मितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. अवर् पाणिनि डाक्टर्स्कृतिनरं बट् मै स्पेशल् मास्टर् ओपन् मै हेण्ड् दर्शक् नालेज् ऐ टु हेण्डल् जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. Whoever is under the influence of Supreme Kala, eternal time, must surrender his most dear life and what to speak of other things that have wealth, honor, children, land and hope. So here, this is a conversation between more than a conversation. This is a teaching given by Vidura to Dhritarashtra. Vidura is actually is taking birth as a human being due to one curse he had. One muni was there, from another name of the muni. That muni had cursed him. Before taking a human birth, actually Vidura was Yamaraja. And that Yamaraja, he had given a punishment to this Mandaka Muni. What had happened actually was, Mandaka Muni was there, some thieves had come and taken shelter in his house, in his ashram. So the police officers come, they catch him, they catch the thieves. Along with the thieves, they also catch this Rishi. Because if you give a shelter to a criminal, then you will also be caught. That's the rule of the land. So it was also caught. And the arrow was 3 years on him. At that time, the Raja of the clan, he heard that this particular Rishi has been caught. And when it happens, the Raja stops it. He says, he's such a great Rishi, how can he do with the, how can he give the punishment to this man? So he gets released. But then he goes to Yamaloka. He goes to Yamaloka to find out from Yamaraja, how did he give me this punishment? What did I do to get this punishment? At that time, the Rishi has the power to go up and down, wherever they can check. Actually, how can they allow? Nobody here. Everybody will go there. That's what will happen. So, what happened when that happened? So, Yamaraja says, when you are a small boy of 4 or 5 years old, you pierce an ant with an arrow, with a straw. You are piercing an ant. So, for that you are getting a punishment. And he said that, this Rishi became very angry. He said, how can you punish me for that? After all, I was a small boy of 5 years old. Small children, they don't know anything, and unknowingly, out of innocence, they commit some offense like this. They commit some crimes, offense, whatever it is. For that, they don't, they shouldn't get punished. For having punishment like this, I am giving you a curse that you may go down onto this world as a human being. Actually, this is all arrangement of the Lord, we should look at it like this, because when Yamaraja comes to this world, he comes again as a very wise man to give the teachings on Bhagavad to everybody. So he comes down to the world, he gets born at Vidura and is in the company of Dhritarashtra and Kaurava family, and then he is giving his teachings on Bhagavad Purana. Actually, Yamaraja is one of the 12 Mahajans. So, as one of the 12 Mahajans, he is highly liberated soul. He is highly knowledgeable soul. He knows everything about the Lord. Because he is carrying out most important work of the Lord in his mind. But that of the person who is giving punishment, which is close confidant Chitragupta, who keeps an account of everything, and on that basis Yamaraja decides what punishment to be given to everybody else. So the person, actually if you look into the world, there are people, more people who do sins than good things. So if there are more people doing sins than good things in this world, obviously the Yamaraja must also be working over there, isn't it? So many people must be going there, and out of all the majority of them must be the sinners. So he has to decide what punishment to give and all those things. So it's always busy. So that is, he has time to preach. That is, he has time to preach about Bhagavatam or about the Lord. He doesn't have any time to preach about the Lord, although he is one of the Mahajans. So maybe this was one of the reasons to get a girl, and that may come down to this world and then preach about the Lord. We have to look at it like this. This arrangement made by the Lord to enable Vidura, to enable Yamaraja to come down to this world and preach about the Bhagavad. So he comes down, and now he is trying to explain to Dhritarashtra how time overtakes everyone. Before anything that we realize, they are already up to a particular age. Either they are 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, and before we know, they are out of it. Actually, from the time they are born, the clock starts ticking. Right? From the time they are born, the clock has, the time has started. How long will you live? It has started already. This is not like the, when you see some of the programs on the TV, you say, the clock, what they say? The time starts now, he says, right? And then the competition starts. Like that, from the time you are born, the time starts now. Start your mind. And before you do anything, you are out of this world. Most of you are about 30s in the 30s. By the time you are born, you are already 30. It looks like after the spell you were here, you are also, the soul is the same. Soul is not a different, soul is the same. So soul remembers what all happened in your childhood and all those things, and you still feel very enthusiastic, energetic, as if you are a young boy, everything you feel. But then the body has become old body. It has reached 30 years old and all. And it is going on like that. So in the connection, Vidura is telling one story to the doctor. This is about a man. He was out in search of life. And when this man is running in search of wealth, he comes to a desert. When he reaches the desert, he sees far, he can see only the desert, nothing else. But a far distance, he can see some birds flying. When he sees the birds flying, he realizes there must be some green pasture. That's why the birds are flying. So he runs towards the place where the birds are flying. When he runs there, he comes closer to that place, he can see lots of trees, that place. So you know something is there, the land is there, some fertile land is there. So he comes closer to that, he finds that there's a big wall. So he climbs the wall with great difficulty. After climbing the wall, he has to jump to the other side of the wall. When he has to jump to the other side of the wall, and he stands up on the wall, he finds that there are lots of wild animals. You know, on the other side of the world. So he doesn't know what to do. He can't jump the other side. But then he sees one of the branches is coming closer. Three branches coming closer. prejudice, why not I catch hold of this branch, climb onto the tree, and from there I will cut off my hair. So he climbs up on the tree, he catches hold of the branch and gets hold of the tree. After he has climbed the tree on the top, he is just sitting looking here and there. At that time he finds one serpent hanging from the top. So he knows this is a dangerous place, I cannot stay here, the serpent will catch hold of me any time. So he decides to move from one tree to another tree. Now he has to go from one tree to another tree and he cannot come down because what is there? Wild animals are all just looking at him. They are all waiting for him to fall down. Then he sees one creeper going from one tree to the other tree. So he says, why not I get hold of this creeper and go and get the other? So he catches hold of a creeper. Now he has to go. How does he go? He cannot hang like this and go. So what he does, he holds it with two hands and with his two feet also he holds the creeper. Hanging like this. And then slowly moves. In between, after he has reached the middle, he is looking down. That's a natural tendency, right? You never want to see where you are. So he looks down, and when he looks down, he finds that there is a big well. And inside the well, there are cobra. This man doesn't know what to do now. And he also finds, suddenly, there are rats running on the mice. They are running on the tree, small ones. What types of mice? One is a white mice and one is a black mice. White mice and black mice are running up and down hedges. They are crisscrossing and running on the creeper. This man is just waiting, doesn't know what to do. At that time, suddenly, something drips into his mouth and it is very tasty. And he looks up, he sees that there is a beehive from which the honey is dripping. When the honey is dripping, he finds it very tasty and he starts licking it and waits for the honey to drip. He is feeling the honey drips. Whenever the honey drips, he puts out his tongue and licks it. Obviously, the honey is not going to drop exactly into the mouth. So it can drop anywhere on the face. He puts out his tongue out and licks the honey and eats it. He keeps telling this story to Dhritarashtra. And afterwards, he asks Dhritarashtra, what did you understand from this story? Dhritarashtra was a blind man, physically, and also spiritually was blind. So he said, I couldn't understand anything from this story. What are you telling me about this story? So Dhritarashtra says, I will tell you what this story is. The man who is running, he is like all of us in this world, running after them. He comes near the, he sees some green pastures. When he sees the green pastures or the birds and the trees and all, he knows that there is some bread to them. So he runs there to get up there. When he gets on and he is almost about to get into the fertile land, he finds that it is not easy. The land has got lots of troubles. Dangers are there. Padam padam, yes padam. If he falls down, he will have serious danger. He can see the danger in his life. What happened? He climbs on the tree, he sees the serpent, he thinks that one danger he can avoid and climbs on to something else. But in other place he finds that there is another type of danger. It is not the same danger, but another type of danger is there. He catches hold of the creeper and tries to come. Now, one thing also is there, the white and black mice, they are running, crisscrossing. And what are they doing? At the end of the creeper, the white mice is nibbling this end and the black mice is nibbling this end. That also is happening. So what does that mean? He says, this white mice and black mice what is running, they are the days and nights. Actually, white mice refers to the daytime and black mice refers to the night time. And what are they doing by nibbling at the end of the creeper? One by one, the day is getting passed away. The white mice comes and nibbles at his end, your daytime is gone. Black mice comes and nibbles at his end, the night time is gone. Again, your day and night is going on. Below, there are serpents, cobras. What is it like? That's the dog of death. The minute you fall into it, you are going to be able. And what is that honey falling from top? That is the small happiness what man gets in this world. So he asked Dhritarashtra to explain this. For that drop of happiness, this man is struggling with life. He is waiting there. He doesn't want to move on anymore. He is just waiting there. Do you think it's a very wise way of leading a life, Dhritarashtra? So Dhritarashtra says, yes, it is not very wise. But how is it possible to give up anything that one has? Very logical question, isn't it? No. We are all working, earning. Most of us have got married, family life is there, the house is there, children are there. Everything is there here. In this particular verse, the Lord Buddha is saying, whoever is under the influence of Supreme Kala must surrender his most dear life. One what to speak of other things such as wealth, honor, children, land and home. Everything will go away one day. That is sure. Then we also know. Anyone who is born here, he is just seen in this world. He also will promise that he realize it. Can he lead a daily life saying that everything will go away one day? He cannot be full of service. That is one of the greatness of Brahma's creation. In the second canto, when you come to, where Brahma will explain about this, where the second canto, Brahma ji explains about the illusion that he was created. One of the illusions is, I am this body. That's, I am not different from this body. Second illusion is, whatever I see around, whatever I convey, whatever is my extended body, they are all mine. They also will live as long as I live. And the third most biggest illusion, I will never die. I will live always. It's not that I won't die. I know that I will die. But the way I live in this world is I will never die. I will live permanently in this world and be dead. There is a way, the illusion. That is the illusion created by the Lord himself. So here, he says, what to speak of other things such as wealth, honor, children, land, and home? Israel is asking this question. True, one day, all these things will go away. Either these things will go away or we will leave these things and go back. That is for sure. That is what definitely will happen to anybody. But, how do we realize this and how do we put it into practice in our life? That is most important for us. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, the two manuals given to us, is for what purpose? To apply it in our life and lead a very successful life in this world. And who is called a successful man in this world? A successful man is one who is able to lead a blissful life and finally at the end of his term in this world, he is able to go back to the Lord. He is able to go back to God. That is a successful man. Man who at the end of his life is able to think of the Lord and master this world, he is a successful man. Now is it possible or not? It's possible, is it not? But there are some people think that it is possible, actually. They think that I will do this everything at the end of their life, but remember always to follow the Lord's name. So there was one guy, you know, and this was kind of there. So he said that he heard this Ajamela story. You have heard of this Ajamela story? No, I did not. Ajamela was a Karana and he gets the moksha. So this man, he has lived and he says, what a wise way to live. I am quite successful in this world. I am quite a successful businessman. I will also do something. So he starts getting his children. The first child he gets, he named the child Gopala. The second child he gets, he names him Narayana. Third son he names him Krishna. The fourth child comes, he gets fortunately but what's your fourth son? And the fourth son also he named him Govinda. So he was the fine time came. He remembered that I had followed the Lord's name. He remembered. I have always thought of this. At the end of my life, I want to live both a spiritual and a material life successfully. And I have to follow the Lord's name, I will do that. So, first some comes, at the time of death, then Gopala comes. So, you know, Gopala here comes, then I. Then comes Narayana comes, he is happy, Narayana also comes. Third, Krishna comes, Krishna also comes. Then finally, that Govinda He comes running. He's away. Father is going to die. That's not the whole scene. He comes. This man on the left side, he sees all the portals. Then suddenly he remembers. Hey, all the portals are here. Who is managing the business? And he passes out. So, he cannot be smart. He never knows when he is part of it. Like this. So, he can't become smarter than the Lord. So, the real true success in life is one who is able to remember the Lord at the time of death. At the time of death, if he has to remember, then over a period of time, he has to practice and evolve himself to that life. This Hala is going to take away everything. You know that. So, the right thing to do is not to have any attachment to any of these things, but to have attachment for him. But even having said that, how practical is it? That also we should see, is it not? You have been hearing it, but how are we going to put it into practice in our life so that at the time of death we be able to remember the Lord? That's what we need to do. So for that, we have to evolve ourselves to that. We have to evolve ourselves to that. From a person who is having this wealth, honor, children, man, home, many other things. All these things, one knows that one will need them. But Krishna says, or rather the Acharyas are explaining that, when you have all these things with you, the best way for you to evolve yourself, the position where you can remember the Lord always, is to put whatever you have in your hand in the presence of the Lord. That's the best way. By which you can use your material possession for the service of the Lord. At the same time, you also progressing in this spiritual path. How does one do it? Again. Now, there are many examples given. Again and again, you would have heard it. Right? So they say, cooking activity has to be done anyway at home. If the cooking activity is then why not cook for Krishna? Automatically, your activity, you are only changing the attitude and you are making it there, Krishna conscious activity. You are having a house, you can conduct a small program, invite your neighbors and all, change that house or rather put that house which is in your position, middle position, in front of the Lord. You can do that. That's another one. You are earning money. You don't have to put all the money in the service of Krishna. But a part of it you can put it into the profession. Actually, now the Acharya says that 50% of your income is Sanatana Goswami said this. Sanatana Goswami said that 50% of one's income should be used in the service of Krishna. But if that is said, if that is said like that, other people will not come for the program. That's what will happen. So not necessary really. In fact, there was a discussion on this also once that one of the Maharaj, not just my Guru Maharaj, was having a discussion on this. And you must think that at that time, Sanatana was there, it was practical, even today there are things to go to 100% income also to, for the service of Krishna. There are also people like that. But not necessarily that everyone will. But even if one gives 5% or 10% of their earnings for the service of Krishna, in the service of Krishna, that's a great thing. Gradually, one gets attached to Krishna's service. By giving it. Because the money is being put in Krishna's service. And once that money gets put in Krishna's service, and you are a part of that service, then naturally, your attachment for the service also takes place. And by service, by being service for the Lord, you gradually progress in the spiritual life. Also, that also happens. And when this comes, for doing something from seva for the Lord, you must always remember that, especially when it comes to this money matter, one has to be extremely careful because it also explains for what purpose you give the money, that matter. You know, Bhagavad Gita, charity is being explained. There are three types of charity that get explained. You know? Charity in the mode of goodness, charity in the mode of passion, and charity in the mode of tamasism. That is the ignorance. That is that. So when we do some charity like this, the best charity is explained, the sattvic charity There is one where we give some donation in the service of Krishna, like for Maharaj or for temples where the Krishna conscious programs are going on. Like this temple where there is a Krishna conscious program going on every Sunday and there is a big crowd coming here. You can see. So obviously there are going to be expenses also included. Is it not? So the expenses are going to be incurred here. So Maharaj is, so where is the management going to incur the expense? So where are they going to get the money to incur the expenses? That money will come only if the devotees contribute. Otherwise, so where will they get the money? Is it not? So, it's essential that whatever you earn, a part of it, 5%, 10%, 15%, whatever you want, you feel like you can give to the Lord. You don't even have to tell others what you have given. That's also very important. What you give should be simply between purely between you and who? And Krishna. Not, there is no need for a middleman there. Actually, you know. So it is purely between Krishna and yourself. And whatever you feel like, you can give directly to him. Or the Mundi box is kept here. You know, the Mundi box. Really, this is a big one here. I'm seeing. So I believe this can take a lot of money if all of you put a part of your income. This is really essential. Because I am telling this because I am coming from a yatra in Qatar, in the Islamic country, where we preach Krishna consciousness against many obstacles. You know, we have too many constraints, too many impediments. In spite of that, we preach. And for any preaching, whether it is India or abroad, two things are very essential. One is manpower and second is money power. Both are required. You know, if you don't have the manpower, you can't do much. Even if you have great plans, you cannot do. And if you don't have money power, again you cannot organize it. Both things are required. And it's like Krishna's arrangement, every person gets a combination of these. And there in our center, invariably, everybody was contributing at least 10% of their income towards the activity. Like there are lots of laborers coming to our program. They will draw about a monthly salary of 3,000 rupees, I'm telling in terms of Indian rupees. They get 300 riyals. Then, 1 riyal is equal to 10 rupees. They get 300 riyals. And out of that 300 riyals, you will give 30 riyals. But you also come across some people who draw 30,000 riyals. And they will also give 50 riyals. Sorry, 3,000 riyals and he will also give 50 riyals. 300 riyals man gives 30 riyals. 3,000 riyals man also gives 50 riyals. Who is better? 300 riyals man is better, is it not? Because for him the 30 riyals is a very big sum. Actually. But for the 3,000 riyals man, the 50 riyals is not very big thing. But he will give the 50 riyals. And he want everyone to see that they have given the 50 riyals. Also, what happened? So there was one incident like this. When Prabhupada was there, one man came, he gave a donation of $100,000. So he gave the $100,000, he came and told Prabhupada, I've given $100,000. So Prabhupada just ignored him. He didn't bother. Again after some time he again said, Prabhupada has given $100,000 of donation. Prabhupada didn't care. He was just talking to somebody else. This matter of feeling, I've given $100,000, Prabhupada is not even looking at me or something. What does he think? Again came, Prabhupada, I've given $100,000 of charity as donation to this temple. How Prabhupada is getting. But he said, so what? So what if you are given $100,000? You are a chief, you are a thief, you have got $900,000 in your pocket. That is Krishna's money. You are keeping the $900,000 in your pocket and for this $100,000 you are telling me three times? So that's the negative. Actually, whatever we get is simply by the grace of Krishna. You may think that I am very smart to get this. I am a very smart man, I am a very intelligent man, I am a highly qualified man. That's why I am getting this salary. son, I worked for it, I earned it, so I deserve it, and I should keep it. But the real truth is, who has given you the smartness? Who has given you that intelligence? And who has also given you this intelligence to think that you are smart and that's why you should keep this money? Everything comes from the Lord. But I forget, that I don't want to think. Everything actually comes from the Lord. Even if I am smart today, it comes from the Lord. If I am intelligent today, that intelligence is also given by the Lord. If I am being given the ability to talk against the Lord, that is also given by the Lord. So everything comes from the Lord. So what is it that I have got of my own? I don't have anything of my own. You know, all the man thinks that I'm equal to Lord, there is nothing. You know this book, the Bible book. There was no man, no one made the Lord. But God answered, I'm equal to you in every respect. He said, come on, you can never be equal to me. Krishna says, you can never be equal to me. Don't try to challenge me. So no, whatever you can do, I can do. You're all right. So he says, Krishna, what are you going to do now? Tell me. He says, let me see what you can, whatever I do, that you can do. I'm going to build a big skyscraper, 100-story skyscraper. The man says, that's easy, I can also do that, I have also got the knowledge of engineering. He says, okay, let's see, I'll first do it. So Krishna says, okay, I'll do it. Krishna constructs 100-story building. The man says, this is simple, I'll also start. So he comes. He was also going to start. So Krishna says, wait 1 minute, my dear friend, this mud and iron, what you are touching, steel, that is mine. When you are, this is not, bring your mud, bring your steel, and then start construction. So actually, everything what you find in the world belongs to ocean. Nothing is. Everything is this. And how can we do service for him? Only by using him. Resources can we do service for him. Like if you go to Haridwar, they do Ganga Puja. And for Ganga Puja, what they do? They take the water. There will be shown water. Then they also show the water. From where do they take that water? From the Ganga Nadi only. From the Ganga Nadi, they take the water and show the aarti to Ganga Nadi. That water is also Ganga Nadi. And still, the aarti is done for. Same way, whatever we do for the Lord, nothing is ours. We take it from Him. And then we do it as an offering for Him. So if I have this earning, who has given me this earning? That is also given by Him. So if I have taken it from Him, to give it back to Him, what is wrong? He has got two options, right? Either He can snatch it away from us, or He can wait for us to give it to Him. Is it not? Like our children are there. The angel sometimes should come certain things to our children, right? Now the latest thing about the children, they should have is mobiles. You know, the father's mobile, the mother's mobile, they like to hold and they like to play with it. Whose mobile is it? Is it the child's mobile? No, it's the parent's mobile, right? Now the father can either snatch away the mobile or he can wait for the child to give it back. When there is a phone call, when the bell is ringing, the child, instead of answering it, runs and gives it to the father feels panicked. So he has got it. He starts answering on behalf of the father, what happened? It doesn't look right, no? Same thing we are doing. Actually, whatever we get it from the Lord. And then after what we do is, we act as if it belongs to, it is ours. It is not of the Lord, it is ours. That's how we start doing it. That's why, what the Lord has done is, because of His compassion, He has created a situation for us whereby He says that whatever resources you find in this world, put it in My service, and thereby you progress in your spiritual life. He is giving us an opportunity to do seva for us. There are thousands of people waiting to do seva. If I don't do seva here now, then somebody else who is there to do that. There are people always ready to grab the opportunity to produce it and progress that. It is up to us now how much we grasp this opportunity, opportunities and do seva for the Lord and thereby progress in our spiritual life. It's all up to us. So I'll explain in this particular shloka. Things like wealth, honor, children, land and home, everything is going to leave us. All those are kind of influence of Supreme Kala, but the second is mostly as well. And what to speak of other things, which will also leave us. So all these things are going to leave us. We know it, we are aware of it. But the only thing is, how much we become conscious of it and put it into practice, thereby we don't get very much attached to most of these things. In the beginning, the attachment will be there. Attachment is natural, we should understand that. We can't be trying to control ourselves and say, no, I will not get attached to this, I will not get attached to that and all this. It's impossible. If you have children, you are going to be attached to children. If you are earning a good income, you are a small income, you are going to get attached to it. Even if he is a poor man, he is a beggar on the street, he gets attached to the place where he is sitting, you know. He gets attached to the place where he is sitting and begging. He will not allow another beggar to come there. Because that place he believes this is actually is an unauthorized occupation. But still he doesn't care. That is his place. He will not allow another person to come there. So attachment is natural for everybody. We are going to be attached. But then we also need to learn how gradually to get out of this attachment by putting whatever we have in our possession in the service of the Lord and thereby make progress spiritually. Thereby end of the life, we make our life successful. By practice only we can become successful at the end of the life. The practice is to put whatever we have in the service of the Lord, to associate with devotees and keep chanting regularly the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Any questions? Taking time, can I tell you one story of Sri Rangapatnam? You are all going to Sri Rangapatnam here, near Mysore. Do you know how Ranganatha Swami has come there? No? Okay. So, you know, on Sri Rangapatnam temple is on the banks of Kaveri. So Kaveri Devi has been running, you know, for a long time. So slowly what was happening was many people regularly go there to take bath. It is known that Kaveri River is one of the auspicious ones in the world. So people go there to take bath, you know, and gradually Kaveri was getting infested with disease. What happens is when people go there to take bath, they got all their sins, come out, commit sins, again come back. And again follow the river. That's what people do normally, everywhere. So this was happening regularly and Kaveri river was getting very much infested. Kaveri river was getting very much polluted for the sinful reaction. Kaveri was getting fed up. He said, this job what the Lord has given me is becoming too heavy for me. After all, I have to do all these things at the cost of my health. No doubt. So she said, she said that I think I should go and meet the Lord and stuff. Sometimes we think that we have to do certain things, but we don't do immediately, you know. We keep waiting, prolonging, you know, till something really happens when we do that, we should do it. So like that, this Narayan was also thinking and was just carrying on like this, you know. Then one midnight, she finds one black lady, you know, this dark lady, she comes. Nobody's there. Was so peaceful. And suddenly this dark lady comes. She gets into the river and she comes out. Immediately she starts knowing that particular lady. And suddenly there's a severe pain on her body. So she calls out that lady and says, "Hold on, who are you? You have come, you took a bath here, you came as a dark lady and you have come out as a golden lady. Who are you? And my body is aching so much." So the lady says, "I'm Ganga Devi." He says, "Ganga Devi? Why did you come and take past here?" She says, "I have been so much polluted. So I have to take a night pollution ever since I came here to take past." So the lady says, "Oh no, that is this is enough for me." She stayed away, goes to the Lord, Vaikuntha Loka. And she tells the Lord, "Lord, I don't want to be here. This is not for me. I'm getting infected with all the diseases. My body has lost its luster. Everything is happened. It's all because everybody is coming to take bath. And I'm having problems with this." Lord says, "But you're doing an excellent service. Who wants to do this service at the cost of my health? What is the benefit I'm going to get? Everybody is getting benefited because of me. And I'm suffering." Lord says, "No, nothing like that. Here is a simple solution. Just look at me, all your sins will go away, and you will get back to your throne." So Sadhguru says, "That's fine, I can look at you and all my sins will get wiped off. But how can I look at you daily? You are sitting in Vaikuntha Loka and I am sitting on the earth." So Lord says, "What is so great about it? I will come down there for your sake." So he says, okay, fine. That's how the Lord comes down at Ranganathara on the Kaveri bed. And everywhere if you go, you will find the Lord has got Sri Devi and Bhudevi on both sides. But in Sriradapatinam, you will find only Kaveri Devi standing at the lotus feet of the Lord praying. And the Lord is lying down in a manner just looking at Kaveri Devi. You know, so daily, every second, Kaveri Devi is getting an opportunity to see the Lord cleanse herself of all the sins. And the Lord is also lying simply looking at the Devi. That's how Ramana Swami came to do Kaveri. Just say, "Look." You wanted to ask a question?
When they give permission to temple, because of our Karmi mentality, we have some expectations. I mean, we think that we have to do something to Lord. I mean, so how to give right of that mentality? We know it's not a good mentality.
When you give permission to temple, what happens?
We have some expectation mentality that we think that we have to make it come and do the Lord. So it's a very bad mentality. I mean, it's not very good mentality. So how to get rid of this mentality?
In initial stages it will be there, but also later on for some people it is there, even after many years of service. You know, where people are highly attached to the material activity, they always think in terms of doing their business with the Lord, you know. Recently one of my friends had come from Tirupati and they were saying, inside the Tirupati temple, one man was shouting at the Lord, actually, "I made you a partner and I promised you to give 25%, and still this year I made a loss." You are loading with the Lord actually, you know. So it happened. He had a mentality, he wanted to give 20% of his profits to the Lord. But then he made a lot. No, so that mentality will always be there many times. The initial stage of the case where I am doing something, I want something in return. But this is only where we can progress or we can purify ourselves. It's better to give through something for the Lord with that mentality rather than not doing it at all. Even if that mentality is there, it doesn't matter. Keep doing the service, seva for the Lord. Give donations for the Lord. It doesn't matter. Because gradually that mentality is going. As you keep doing it, that mentality is going. Don't get worried. It's a good thing to worry that I'm doing it with this mentality. I shouldn't do with that mentality. That's a good thing. That's the beginning. But gradually it is there. Don't stop because of that. Keep doing.
What is the difference between one to practical Krishna consciousness and forget Krishna at the time of death, and who does not practice Krishna consciousness and somehow think Krishna at the time of death?
What is the difference between a person who does Krishna consciousness and does not remember Krishna at the time of death? What is the meaning of one who does Krishna consciousness?
He practices chanting and
well, practice is not enough. Practice is not good enough.
Yeah, but because this is difficult to say 100% perfection, one may not remember him at the time of death. One who gets 100% perfection will definitely remember. But it is difficult to get 100% perfection in this case.
No, it's not like that. The 100% perfection is what you mean, to remember Krishna at the time of death, right? That's what is 100% perfection. 100% perfection is only of a person who is able to know the Krishna at the time. So one may have taken a lot of practice Krishna consciousness in this life. He may not be, probably because of some reason, he has not been able to remember the law. But there is not a law. Like Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, whatever level you have, you are at this time, you are in this jama, from the same level, next person is. And he explains in Bhagavad Gita, you know. So he is not at a loss. If not this Janma, next Janma at least he will get an opportunity to do a better seva for the Lord and thereby attain perfection. He explains that to Arjuna, 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 what happens to someone who does it and then leaves it in between. So Krishna says there is no loss for reason between the earth. But whatever level he accepts, from that level, he will start thinking. A person who has not in Krishna consciousness and he remembers at the time of death the Lord, then he has done a high sukriti. That's only thing I can say. But that's rarely happens. That's not a... Everybody cannot be an Ajnita. Even in the case of Ajnita, he has done so much of quiet activities. He has done so much of Krishna conscious activities before as a Brahma.
Sometimes we contribute to the system. And then there's a chance that the concept is disutilized in the system. So then what happens to the person who gives money? Is it a negative reaction to the person who gives the money, or is it a negative reaction to the person who commits the sin with that money?
The negative reaction is the person who is committing that sin. When I am giving the money, I am putting it for the, I am giving it for the right cause. You know, in Sattvic Guna I am doing it. It's a Sattvic charity, as I explained. The first charity is where they give money for Krishna conscious activity. And that money is being given. Now, at the end, if it gets misused by somebody else, that man has to face the reactions. And the karma for that are very severe, actually. Very, very severe karma. So you don't have to really worry about it, whether that this person misuses it or that person misuses it. Over a period of time, when we associate with people, they are also in a position to judge, is it not? Whether these people are good enough, or they are not good enough, whether they are talkative or they are not talkative. We can also make an assessment of everybody. So we shouldn't have to really worry about it. We can go ahead. They are really for Krishna.
Is there a donation for temple sattvic activity? Transcendental, I thought, so we are not doing what we want to do.
No, don't take it as a sattvic activity. What I am trying to say is, charity is a mode of goodness. charity is more of passion, and charity is more of ignorance, as explained by Krishna. That's what I am saying. And then the best charity is when we do charity to those people who are doing Krishna conscious activity. Understand? So obviously, as you rightly said, yes, it is beyond that, Sahajguna also it will plant them. It is definitely. But starting with, at least at that platform from that, it takes off. Right, I've got no, absolutely no reaction.
If it is
Vishnu, right?
Yeah, but if we not doing Krishna consciousness,
you will also get reaction. Yeah, correct, but that's what I'm saying, sir. But this particular question was in connection with money giving to the temple. Temple where it has to be used for Krishna conscious activity. Then there is no, and if a person who has to do it for Krishna conscious activities, if he misuses it, or that this person has got no deal, contributor has got no reaction, because he has given it for Krishna conscious purpose. Now the reaction what you are talking about is for those material activities, where you are giving it for material action, charity in the mode of goodness, where you are doing it, and that charity gets misused for some other purpose, you know. Yeah, but they are limiting it to just Krishna conscious activities in the temple, you know. That's what we are limiting it. That's why I didn't touch upon that question.
When you talk about attachment with a thing, with our child, or wife, whatever it is, the activities which we are performing, we are knowing that we are going to be attached. After that also, when we perform the thing, we are knowing, we are aware that we will get attached. But after that also, we are willing to do the same thing.
Willing to do? Same what?
Same to have wife.
One more check.
Means it's the same life. You know that we are going to be attached to my job or my family. We are having this consciousness in ourselves, but how do we get attached? After having this consciousness, also we do the same thing repeatedly. Why is that?
Yeah, that's what I said. See, first of all, to be attached is natural. Honestly, that is natural. Even a dog has got attachment to its body. A cow has attached to its house. Like a man is attached to his children, his family members. His job, he has to keep up the, he has to maintain the family. He is attached to his job. All attachment is natural. We get attached to various things. We can't really define what will be attached. But attachment is natural in all of us. Now, to detach ourselves, artificially we cannot detach. So, if we have to fully detach, we have to evolve to that level. By practicing Krishna consciousness on a regular basis. By practicing Krishna consciousness on a regular basis, over a period of time, we start realizing minimum conscious, but there is no point in getting attached to so many things. That's why we need the association of lots of senior devotees, lots of maharas. We need to do a lot of seva. You know, doing a lot of seva in the temple to the Vaishnava, studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, chanting our rounds regularly, very sincerely. These things will help us to evolve also to the stage where we can get ourselves released from. Not only that, whatever we are attached, we can also put it in the service of the Lord. Suppose I am attached to my family. Everyone is attached to the family, wife, children, and all. The best thing to do is to put them out in the service of Krishna. So by doing that, what happens? Gradually, we start progressing. And although we have an attachment for them, we feel more attached for them because we are doing the seva for Krishna. Like how there is an attachment for between the devotees, each other. Why? Because that's a common goal. Everybody is doing seva for the Lord, so automatically everyone gets attached to each other. That's it. So that's nothing. So you progress, and then that mentality will gradually go. Thank you, sir. So, since we are all only, we can contribute the power share and positive by some. So, what is the case of people who are very in this? Their general needs itself is not able to fulfill their family. So, how they can serve the Lord? If they are not able to provide any money or funds for the Lord, are there any no way other than this for their
family? It's not everything that has to be done only with money. I mean, because it came over here, because of the discussion, it came, that's why I referred to that. Not necessarily that everyone has to do it only with money. People can do it with their body also. There are so many people who serve the Lord, the body, the temple cleaning is taking place. There are so many things they do. If you are a good singer, you sing. If you are a good cook, you can cook for the Lord. But the point is that you have to do some seva for the Lord. Whether you do it with money or with your resources or with your body, it doesn't matter. But it is like this, you know. We can offer, like in Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita says, it's a patam bhaktam param toyam. Tome bhaktam prajit. He says that. Right? So he says, even if you give me water or a leaf, I will accept it if you give it to me with bhakti. Now there is a rich man, he says, Krishna has said that I will give only water. Does it make sense? No. Krishna is attractive. That's not a big problem. But then he can do better with Krishna. That's the way you can look at it. The man has got nothing to do, he is very poor, but he can do seva of his body also, no? Like you have got this example of that banana man in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Kuleja Sridhar, Kuleja Sridhar, you know. He was a very poor man, he didn't even have a proper house. He had thatched roof somewhere, it was leaking, water used to fall, everything was happening. But then he was a great devotee of the Lord. What was he doing? He was offering whatever he had in his hand. Always he should give to the Lord as a leaf. He was only selling banana leaf. Is
that the record? Actually, Rupa said about the donation or the service to Krishna. He only purifies himself.
Yeah.
Actually, any person is polluted. Because coming to this world is to bring the Sadhus Bhajana IK. Actually, this is the reason whatever the karma is done in the past, karma is that is right. And he is to clear up the depth of what he has done in the past karma. He has come and said, he is the karma. And Prabhu says about the donation, as it is not need that be in the finance or the any money or anything, but you can do service also. But in that, it is an opportunity for a person to get clear out of that. But Krishna is so intelligent and testing everybody. How they are so much decayed, even though they have come. And he will give low crowds of money, he gives much more power, much more things. But how he is testing every moment, that how he is going to serve me, like that he will serve every teacher. But Sukriti is there. See, many of the devotees have come to this place. Because they have done Sukriti, they have come here. If they have not done Sukriti, they have not come to this temple. Because Prabhupada is so merciful, in giving mercy to everybody, he gives it to another reason. And giving donation to the character, this temple, especially the Vaishnava service. Other than the Vaishnava service, even they do service for the metal lodging and whatever they offer to Krishna and also the flowers and everything. But it is clearly said, Prabhupada, about the donation. It is you are doing only Krishna. You have nothing to do with that. The money, whether you give 100% without any cost, it is without for the Vaishnava service. See, that is the user. But if you do only for the Vaishnava service, then only it will be useful like this. So whatever the to their mind that there is to their Shikta, their Shikta they can donate for either the Dhana, Dhanya or anything, whatever it is offered to Krishna. It is nothing but an offering they are given to Krishna. This is what the Dhokya Guru?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Krishna Prabhupada ki jai.